live, on air, online, and on the Highland Radio app. This is Highland Radio News.
Good evening, it's Donna Marie Doherty with the news at 5 o'clock. Coming up on this evening's bulletin, Met Éireann is warning of dangerous travelling conditions and poor visibility with a status orange low temperature and ice warning issued for 15 counties including Donegal. The proposed developer of the site of the Carisla explosion has responded to Donegal County Council's request for further clarification. A post-mortem is due to be carried out today on the body of a man found at a vacant property in Burnfoot, and a second protest has been organised in response to a decision to not make a prosecution in the case of Rebecca Brown. These stories in full, plus more to follow. Mark Gallagher's at the sports desk and Chris Ashmore has the latest farming news and views. Met Éireann is warning of dangerous travelling conditions and poor visibility, with a status orange low temperature and ice warning issued for 15 counties. It will come into effect in inland counties as well as Donegal and Galway from 7pm this evening until 8am tomorrow morning. The rest of the country is under a status yellow alert until midday tomorrow. Cathal Nolan of Ireland's Weather Channel says temperatures are forecast to drop as low as minus 8 degrees in some areas.
Well, the situation at the moment is that there's still many, of course, that are dealing with the incredible snowfalls that we saw last weekend. The good news, however, on that front is that it is coming to an end, but not before we have another particularly cold night ahead of us. Mixed in with that, a little bit of freezing fog and, of course, icy conditions on the roads. And that will be the case countrywide.
Well, Gráinne's Gap in Muff will be closed at 6 o'clock this evening at the request of An Garda Síochána. It's due to the treacherous conditions with the cold snap. The road will be opened once more at 10am tomorrow morning, but that is subject to the weather conditions. Gritting will be complete at 8 o'clock this evening and again at 6 o'clock tomorrow morning on all of the Donegal winter maintenance routes. However, drivers are told to assume that no road is ice-free. Locallink says transport for passengers attending HSE day services will not operate due to unsafe conditions tomorrow in Donegal, Sligo and Leitrim. Locallink demand responsive services will be assessed locally by each operator tomorrow morning. For commuter services, people are asked to check Locallink's social media and Facebook page from 6am for updates on disruptions to services. The proposed developer of the site of the Carisla explosion has responded to Donegal County Council's request for further clarification. Vivo Shell Limited has submitted significant further information and revised plans to their planning application to redevelop the site where 10 people lost their lives in an explosion over 2 years ago. Michaela Clark has more.
Donegal County Council in October last requested further clarification from Vivo Shell Limited as the planning application did not comply with what it was seeking. The area roads engineer sought a relocation of the proposed loading area from its location on the N56 to within the extents of the site area. The TII also raised issues with the proposed redevelopment as it varied from official policy in relation to the control of development on and affecting national roads. A revised site layout and road safety audit was submitted to the council on December the 10th, which makes provision for the loading bay to be located within the site boundary on the shop forecourt. A council engineer has indicated that the new proposed location of the loading bay is satisfactory from the road service point of view. The developer is seeking permission to demolish the existing building and erect a new shop, which will include a post office and off licence. The proposed works also include a space for a memorial garden.
A post-mortem is due to be carried out today on the body of a man found at a vacant property in Burnfoot. The discovery was made in the Dundrain area at around 2:30 yesterday afternoon. The man has not yet been identified. Gardaí say the post-mortem of results will determine the course of their investigation. Cathaoirleach of the Inishowen Municipal District, Councillor Jack Murray, said it's important that people check on neighbours during the current cold snap.
Extremely tragic news to break yesterday evening, and very, very sad. The local community is just absolutely in shock, and information is very scarce at the minute. We don't know the circumstances of this poor man's death, but nonetheless, this is a very, very tragic incident to be visited upon our community, and just whoever this man is, we'll see his name, and his family, our thoughts are with him. It's such a horrible thing. It was a vacant house, they have said that, so we can't assume the cause of this poor man's death, but it nonetheless would serve as a reminder, just check on your neighbours, check on any house in your local area. The temperatures have plunged to very, very dangerous levels, so whether or not it's the cause of this poor man's death, it serves a reminder to everybody in the community. Just look out for your neighbours, look out for elderly people, look out for anybody who could be vulnerable during these very, very dangerous temperatures.
Simon Harris and Micheál Martin have both indicated they're happy to work with TD Michael Lowry in a new government. It comes after reports Gardaí have passed a file onto the DPP after considering the findings of the Moriarty Tribunal for almost 14 years. The report found Mr. Lowry secured the winning of a state mobile phone contract for the Dennis O'Brien-led Stat Digiphone. Those findings are disputed by both Lowry and O'Brien. Taoiseach Simon Harris tried to play down the importance of individual members of the regional independent group during a press conference earlier.
Well, look, I think the people of Ireland decide who they elect to Dáil Éireann, who we elect. We will sit down and negotiate with the regional independents. It's a matter for them to decide who's in their group. I'm the leader of Fine Gael, not the leader of the regional independents. And on a personal level, I respect the mandate that every individual member of Dáil Éireann.
A second protest has been organised in response to a decision to not make a prosecution in the case of Rebecca Brown. The 21-year-old from Derry died in May 2024 after being struck by a Garda patrol car at Ludden Buncrana. GSOC ruled in December that it would not prosecute any Gardaí. The demonstration is due to take place outside Buncrana Garda station at 1 p.m. on Sunday. That's the 2nd of February. The Justice for Rebecca Brown campaign groups say they're gathering to demand justice, accountability and answers. A previous protest was held in December last, close to the scene of the fatal collision. The wife of a former Donegal senator says the lack of support for people recovering from an acquired brain injury is immoral. It's recently emerged that almost 1,300 people under 65 are in nursing homes because of a lack of community services. Among them is former Senator Jimmy Hart, who sustained a severe head injury in a fall in Dublin in 2013. After a lengthy period in several hospitals, he came home. And while he flourished for a time, his wife Mary says a lack of specialist community services such as physiotherapy, speech therapy and occupational therapy meant that the progress could not be maintained. He's now in a nursing home. On today's 9 till noon show, Mary Hart told Greg Hughes the circumstances that led to this happening were immoral.
He was writing for a local newspaper. He was walking unaided. And I'm like, his potential was lost, not because of the brain injury, but because of the lack of community neuro rehabilitation services in this county. Somebody sent me a video, 2018, and he was in the house in Raphoe, and he was walking unaided. My son Michael was standing in the background with two little crutches, and Jimmy was walking unaided in the kitchen floor, and I thought, look how far he had come. And I look now and I think, oh my God, this is immoral. And not only is it economically makes absolutely no sense, but morally, it really is an awful stain on this country. It really is. We have newly elected TDs in this country. We have five wannabe senators. Get the finger out. Use your levers of power when you're up there. We want our own community-based rehabilitation service.
It's understood a car rammed the front of the Donegal Hearing Clinic on Pierce Road in Letterkenny this afternoon. The organisation shared images of the damage caused to the front door of the premises on social media. Gardaí confirmed they received a report of criminal damage earlier today in the area. It's believed the vehicle fled the scene after the incident occurred. They say investigations are ongoing. Donegal property prices rose by €15,475 in the last 3 months of 2024, according to myhome.ie. The median asking price for a property in the county is now €245,475, with a year-on-year price inflation in Donegal twice the national average. Cameron Clark has more.
The report, which covers quarter four of 2024, shows the median asking price for a property in the county is now €245,475. This means prices have risen by €35,525 compared with December 2023. Asking prices for a three-bed semi-detached house in the county rose by €10,000 over the quarter to €185,000, a 12-month increase of €13,000. Meanwhile, the asking price for a four-bed semi-detached house in Donegal rose by €19,000 over the quarter to €269,000, a €74,000 rise compared to December 2023. The percentage rate of increase in Donegal over all sectors last year was 17% compared to national asking price inflation of 8.4%. There were 244 properties for sale in Donegal at the end of quarter four 2024, an increase of 14% over the quarter.
Joanne Geary is managing director of myhome.ie. She says the rate of price inflation in Donegal remains high, but a lot will depend on supply over the next 12 months.
I think what you're seeing in Donegal is, and the rate of asking price inflation has been very significant, is because prices have been coming from a very low base because of the mica issue. You know, certainly the market would have been in a much worse situation 2-3 years ago. Supply has increased, which is good, no doubt. You know, as a result of some of the solutions that have come there in relation to mica, the market has been helped by the COVID effect. Still, people relocating, you know, working and living back in the county and in local communities now again. You also have a very strong holiday home market in Donegal, which would be included in these figures as well.
Concerns being expressed that the introduction of an electronic travel authorisation requirement between the Republic and the North will compromise tourism in Northern Ireland. As of this week, non-EU passport holders travelling from Donegal into Derry, Tyrone and Fermanagh will need an ETA, even for a day trip. Joanne Stewart is CEO of the Northern Ireland Tourism Alliance. She says with 70% of international visitors entering via the Republic, an exemption is necessary.
People will now require a permission to travel, an electronic travel authorisation. But what I'd just like to say is that Irish passport holders and legal residents of Ireland are exempted. Any of your listeners who are obviously living in Donegal and want to come across the border into the north, they will not require an ETA. Our concern is that obviously we are promoted as part of the Island of Ireland destination, and about 70% of our overseas visitors would come in and arrive in the Republic of Ireland and would include a trip to Northern Ireland as part of their tour visit to the island. Obviously, the Irish government are not implementing a similar scheme. So our concern is that those visitors will not be aware that they actually require an ETA to come into Northern Ireland. Each individual would have to go through the online process to apply for one, wait to be told that they have that permission to travel, and pay the fee of £10. And it's for everybody. So if you have a young child to somebody, you know, an old age pensioner, everybody has to complete one of those. What we're calling for is an exemption for those visitors who are coming to the island of Ireland and want to include a trip to Northern Ireland, so that we're not placing a barrier, an obstacle, or putting them in a situation where they could inadvertently be in Northern Ireland without an ETA, and there are legal consequences to that.
The time is 12 minutes past 5 here in Highland Radio. We're going to go to a short break, and Mark Gallagher will be back with all the latest in sport. It's 5:15 here on Highland Radio. Mark Gallagher's at the sports desk.
Thanks, Donna Marie. Good evening. We're going to start with soccer, and Killybegs man Seamus Coleman will take charge of Everton for tonight's FA Cup third round clash with Peterborough. Following the news, the club have sacked manager Sean Dyche. Coleman will link up with youth team coach Leighton Baines in managing the team for tonight's fixture. Everton are 1 point above the Premier League's relegation places, having won just one of their last 11 top flight games. Kick-off at Goodison Park is at 7:45. At the same time, Fulham boss Marco Silva welcomes his old club Watford, while at 7, Sheffield United entertain Cardiff City. Rangers play Dundee in the Scottish Premiership tonight, hoping to reduce Celtic's lead at the top. The Hoops are currently 16 points clear. Van Harps have confirmed that Joe Gorman's contract has been cancelled under a mutual agreement. Having signed for the Balbuffet side in mid-December 2024, Gorman's time at Finn Park has been short-lived. The 30-year-old was found to be drunk in charge of a vehicle, leading to him being suspended from driving for 2 years and fined €1,000. Gorman was not driving the car at the time, but was found guilty by a judge. Graham Potter says he was waiting for the right option before becoming the new manager of West Ham. The former Brighton and Chelsea boss takes over from Julian Lopetegui, who won just 6 of his 20 Premier League games in charge. Potter says he spoke to a number of clubs since leaving Chelsea in 2023 and that he is excited by the potential at West Ham.
Felt right. Spoke with the board, looked at the squad, looked at the academy. Yeah, this one felt the right one. And as I said, I'm really, really excited to be here. It's an amazing club with a tremendous loyal fan base that is passionate, that's knowledgeable, that knows the football, that knows what they like, knows what they want, and I think it's a good fit.
Luton Town have confirmed manager Rob Edwards has left the club. He guided them to the Premier League 2 years ago, but couldn't prevent them falling back down to the Championship 12 months later. They've won just 7 of their 24 games this season and are currently just 2 points above the relegation zone. Shamrock Rovers head coach Stephen Bradley believes he's signed the Premier Division's standout goalkeeper from last season. Ed McGuinty has left Oxford United to sign a multi-year contract at Tellus Stadium. McGuinty was on loan at Sligo Rovers, the club he joined in 2017 after leaving his native Scotland. Sligo have wasted no time in finding McGuinty's replacement, with Sam Sargent coming to the showgrounds from Waterford on a one-year deal. Elsewhere, Derry City are reportedly in talks to sign Northern Ireland striker Liam Boyce from Scottish side Hearts. Moving on to rugby, Irish rugby referee Chris Busby is set for a shock retirement from professional rugby. The Ulster official took charge of the recent Interpro derby between Leinster and Connacht, after which Connacht star Mac Hansen took aim at the refereeing of his side. Busby was due to officiate as an assistant referee for two games during the upcoming Six Nations. Hansen, meanwhile, has been handed a six-match ban by the URC over his comments, with half of that sentence suspended. He'll miss Connacht's Challenge Cup matches with Leon and Cardiff, as well as their URC game with Glasgow later this month. In Gaelic games, ATU Donegal's clash with MTU Cork in the first round of this year's Sigerson Cup will be played on Friday evening, having been postponed yesterday evening due to the weather. The game will now throw in at 7 o'clock tomorrow at Abbottstown. And finally, in boxing, Callum Walsh will headline a card featuring a number of Irish fighters at Madison Square Garden on St Patrick's Day. The Cork boxer will defend his WBC Continental America's Super Welterweight title against Dean Sutherland of Scotland. On the same card, Dublin heavyweight Thomas Carty will take on the American Dahuan Calloway, while there's also a Super Middleweight rematch between Dublin's Emmett Brennan and Kerry native Kevin Cronin. That is all your sport for today. Back with more tomorrow morning. Donna Marie.
Thanks, Mark. Well, looking now to weather, it will be very cold but mostly dry tonight with frost setting in early. Lowest temperatures of -7 to -2 degrees. Frost and ice will be on surfaces again, together with some freezing fog in light breezes. To conclude this evening's news, here's the headlines. Met Éireann is warning of dangerous travelling conditions and poor visibility, with a status orange low temperature and ice warning issued for 15 counties. It will come into effect in inland counties as well as Donegal and Galway from 7pm this evening until 8am tomorrow morning. The rest of the country is under a status yellow alert until midday tomorrow. The proposed developer of the site of the Creasla explosion has responded to Donegal County Council's request for further clarification. Bevo Shell Limited has submitted significant further information and revised plans for their planning application to redevelop the site where 10 people lost their lives in an explosion over 2 years ago. A post-mortem is due to be carried out today on the body of a man found at a vacant property in Burn Foot. The discovery was made in the Drun Drain area at around 2:30 yesterday afternoon. The man has not yet been identified, and Gardaí say the results of the post-mortem will determine the course of their investigation. And finally, a second protest has been organised in response to a decision to not make a prosecution in the case of Rebecca Brown. The 21-year-old from Derry died in May 2024 after being struck by a Garda patrol car at Ludden Buncrana. GSOC ruled in December that it would not prosecute any Gardaí. The demonstration is due to take place outside Buncrana Garda station at 1 o'clock on Sunday, the 2nd of February. That's all for now. We'll be back again with headlines at 6 o'clock. Chris Ashmore has all the latest farming news after the obituary notices.
The obituary notices for this Thursday evening, the 9th of January. The death has taken place of Ruby Hamilton, née Johnston, Pluck, Manor Cunningham. Her remains will repose at her home from 6 o'clock to 9 o'clock this evening, and again tomorrow from 12 noon to 9 o'clock. Funeral from there on Saturday afternoon at 1:30 for 2 o'clock service of thanksgiving in Rye Presbyterian Church, followed by burial in the adjoining graveyard. Family flowers only, please. Donations in lieu of desired to Medical Rehab Centre Letterkenny, care of any family member, or Terence McClintock, funeral director. House private, please, on the morning of the funeral. The sudden death has occurred of Colm Doherty, The Cross, Clonmany. Wake private, please, to family and neighbours. Funeral from his home at 10:40 on Saturday morning for 11 o'clock Requiem Mass in St Mary's Church, Clonmany, with burial afterwards in the adjoining cemetery. Family time, please, from 10pm to 11am and on the morning of the funeral. The funeral mass can be viewed on churchservices.tv. The death has occurred of Anthony Kelly, Cleary House, Letterkenny, formerly of Glenties. Remains reposing at 3 The Rock, Glenties, from 6:30 this evening. Removal from there on Saturday morning at 10:45, going to St Connell's Church, Glenties, for funeral mass at 11 o'clock, followed by burial in the local cemetery. the death has occurred of Sean Madlin, Kilrain Cloughan, formerly of London, England. Sean's remains are reposing at his late home in Cloughan. Removal on Saturday for Requiem Mass in the church of Our Lady of Perpetual Succour, Glenfinn, at 11 o'clock, followed by interment in the family plot in Kiltievogue Cemetery. The death has taken place of Josephine Barr, Portnamurray, Ballyboe, Rathmullen, formerly of 21 Main Street, Buncrana, reposing at her home in Rathmullen from 12 noon tomorrow with rosary at 9. Requiem Mass on Saturday morning at 11 in St Joseph's Church, Rathmullen, with burial afterwards in Cockhill Cemetery, Buncrana. The Mass can be viewed on MCN Media. Family time, please, after the rosary and before the funeral on Saturday. Family flowers only, please. Donations, if desired, to Down Syndrome Ireland, care of any family member. The death has occurred of Annie Devlin, Sarita, Ballymagan, Buncrana. Annie's remains are reposing at her late residence. Funeral from her home at 10 o'clock on Saturday morning for 11 o'clock Requiem Mass in St Mary's Church, Cockhill, with burial afterwards in the adjoining cemetery. Family time, please, from 11 p.m. to 11 a.m. The funeral mass can be viewed on churchservices.tv. The death has occurred of Eamon Boyle, Mina Largan, Glenties. Eamon's remains will repose at Shovelin Funeral Home, Sandfield, Ardra, until 7 o'clock this evening. Removal from there tomorrow morning at 10:15 to St Connell's Church, Glenties, for Requiem Mass at 11 o'clock, with burial afterwards in the local cemetery. The funeral mass can be viewed on churchservices.tv. The death has taken place in Glasgow of James Cullen, Glasgow, and Devlin Rea, Carrigart. His remains are reposing at his sister Mary Ellen's residence. Funeral from there tomorrow morning to the Church of St John the Baptist, Carrigart, for 11 o'clock Requiem Mass, followed by interment in the adjoining cemetery. Family time, please, from 10 p.m. and before the funeral tomorrow. The Mass can be viewed live on the Meva Parish Facebook page. And the death has taken place of Kathleen Ward, née Doherty, 32 Main Street, Plumbridge. Kathleen's remains are reposing at her late residence. Funeral from there tomorrow morning at 10:30, going to Sacred Heart Church, Plumbridge, for 11 o'clock Requiem Mass, with burial afterwards in the adjoining cemetery. Family flowers only, please. Donations in lieu to St Vincent de Paul and Marie Curie, care of McGuigan Funeral Directors. Family time, please, from 10 o'clock tonight and before the funeral tomorrow. For family information and more details regarding wakes and funerals, please go to highlandradio.com.
Hello, good evening and welcome to this week's edition of Farming News and Views here on Highland Radio. I'm Chris Ashmore. Well, the bad weather has naturally had a big impact on the farming community, and with further freezing conditions forecast, just to let you know, that's Tranorlar Mart has called off its sheep sale due to run this evening. So that's no sheep sale in Tranorlar Mart this evening. And earlier today, Rafomart's cattle sale fell foul of the weather, but the forecast for next week is much better and things should be back to normal. The sale of cows from herds that have had TB could be severely restricted for 3 years after the herd is clear of the disease. Well, that's according to a report in this week's Irish Farmers Journal. So how will this impact on farmers here in Donegal and beyond? Amy Ford is the news editor of the Irish Farmers Journal, and I spoke to her earlier today to find out more. Well, Amy, what exactly are the proposals?
Yeah, Chris, so we understand that the sale of cows from herds that have had TB could be severely restricted for 3 years after the herd is clear of the disease. And these are new proposals from the Department of Agriculture that would apply to herds of at least 50 cows and would be triggered when 5% or more of a herd's cows, or at least 10 cows in larger units, were tested positive for TB and were found to be reactors. So what does this mean? So under the proposed changes, affected herds would only be allowed to sell cows directly for slaughter, such as the factory, or into controlled finishing units known as feedlots during this three-year restriction period. And then obviously then if agreed, this would mean that these animals wouldn't be able to go through the marts. We understand that the sale of calves and other cattle would not be impacted once the herd is deemed to be clear of TB, that it's just targeted at cows. And then that there'd be further blood testing of these animals for TB as well. I suppose putting it into brass tacks, as you could call it, in 2023, it was estimated that 38% of dairy farms were TB, or sorry, 38% of TB breakdowns were on dairy farms. So around 2,800 out of the 6,000 odd now at this moment in time, if we take it like that. So then taking the average herd size of 95 cows, that would applying that to those herds, that means the measures could immediately impact the trading of over 200,000 dairy cows if they're introduced. And I suppose, look, these proposals have gone to the farm organisations on the TB form, and they're expected to be discussed at the next meeting of it later in February.
And of course, the whole reasoning really behind this is the fact that we've seen such a big increase in the incidence of TB in recent months. Indeed, last year up, around 20%?
Yeah, the figures are going in the wrong direction. The latest figures we have from the department are up to the 8th of December 2024, and that showed over 40,000 reactors had been identified and just over 6,000 herds are restricted on a 12-month rolling basis. So they are up 12 months from December 2023. That's a big jump. And now, obviously, the department are looking at those figures and looking at what action can be taken to drive down the spread of the disease around the country and to other farms.
Now, the cost of these possible new proposals, the farmer and the department have both spent a lot of money over the years trying to tackle this issue. What will be the cost implications of these new proposals?
Yeah, so look, there's a multi-million euro spend on TB every year by the department in compensation, and obviously then farmers in terms of if they have to get rid of cows, if they're replacing those cows, the loss of earnings in terms of milk, if they're dairy cows, that those cows are gone, and obviously then potentially the loss of future replacements in terms of calves and selling those animals on. In terms of the cost implications, look, it's taken an outlet out of the market for where those cows could go. Currently, obviously, if your herd goes clear of TB, you're clear to trade in March or anywhere else, and that would take that out of it. And there was a really good price for cows in the back end of last year, and if you're taking another element out of the market, then like that's obviously just less competition if you were only limited to sending cattle to the factory and to finishing units.
So just what stage are these proposals at? How long a time frame are we talking about before they could come in?
So these proposals were recently circulated to the farm organisations and other stakeholders that are sitting at the TB forum. And then, so that's with them now. We understand it went to them just before Christmas. And then it's to be discussed at the next meeting in mid-February. So once that meeting is over in February, the temperature will be taken of what the reaction to the measures are, and it'll go from there.
And are there any early indications from the farming organisations as to what way they're receiving these proposals?
Not at this time, Chris, yet, but we are expecting reaction over the coming days to it. It's hard to know what way farm organisations will react. The figures are obviously going in the wrong way, and I think it's clear that potentially some sort of new solution of some sort is going to be needed rather than the current measures that we have in place.
And am I right in saying the department has also proposed that all cows in herds with multiple TB reactors should be blood tested for the disease?
Yeah, that's correct. So there is obviously an element of blood testing going on anyways at the minute, but the department has proposed, as you say there, that all cows and herds with multiple reactors should be blood tested for the disease using the gamma interferon test. So there's a lot of that going on already, but that is obviously a cast iron guarantee if these proposals go through that will be carried out then at the same time. So that is obviously another test to be carried out in the TB side of things.
So you've mentioned a figure there, the amount of dairy cows that could be affected by the measures. What about the number of suckler cows? Have we any idea there?
Yeah, so that figure is slightly different. So because the measures are currently targeting cows, herds of at least 50 cows, the average suckler farm in Ireland is a lot smaller than that. It's around 16, 17 cows at the minute. So they would not fall into that net. But obviously some of the bigger suckler farmers on the other side of the country, who might have been more high risk for TB, they could also fall into the net then, and it's kind of harder to work out the exact figures on that front.
I suppose fair to say, you know, everybody in United in the view that something has to be done because the TB issue has been going on for many years. We've had pilot projects, we've had various initiatives, but it looks as if they really haven't made a huge amount of difference.
No, it doesn't appear so. And there is a TB eradication program that's there. There are measures in it. And you'd wonder now, will that be reviewed potentially? Or what's going to happen in that? Will there be other measures such as this brought in to try and stem the flow of it into other herds?
And that was Amy Ford, news editor of the Irish Farmers Journal. In other news, the ICSA president, Sean McNamara, has called on the Minister for Agriculture, Charlie McConnellogue, to reinstate grant aid for dribble bar technology under TAMS, arguing that its exclusion makes no financial or practical sense. From the start of this year, under the new slurry spreading rules, farmers stocking above 100 kilos of nitrogen per hectare will be compelled to use low-emission slurry-spreading technology. However, many of the affected dry stock farmers are currently using splash plates and will now face a major financial burden to upgrade. The ICSA contends that these farmers are being forced to invest in equipment that isn't even practical for the type of land that they farm and delivers little additional environmental benefit. Mr. McNamara said the ICSA is demanding the reintroduction of grant aid for dribble bars under TAMS 3, either as a retrofitting option or as part of a new tanker purchase. And a date for the diary, a reminder that the next meeting of the County Donegal Executive of the IFA will take place in the Clannery Hotel in Letterkenny on Tuesday, the 21st of January from 8 o'clock. And the guest speaker is James Staines, an agri-law specialist. And finally, AgriAware's popular Farm Walk and Talk series is back for 2025, offering second-level students studying agricultural science the chance to step onto farms across the country in the coming weeks. This year, the series has expanded with the inclusion of farm safety talks, complementing expert-led discussions on a wide range of agricultural topics. Well, that's it for this week's edition of Farming News and Views. As always, many thanks for listening. If you want to contact the programme, you can email me at farmingdonegal@gmail.com. Until the next time, from me, Chris Ashmore, goodbye.